welcome everybody to another official episode of Heroes Asylum. This would be issue 85, and of course I cannot do this alone. I've always got Kane over here with me. How are you doing today, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, you know. Had a nice weekend. Got a fun weekend for myself.
Yeah, so did I. Nice 3-day weekend, unfortunately, ending for me, but beginning for you. So, yes. Lucky you.
Yes. And of course, we are here again with Heroes Asylum. Kane, of course, is living in the Red Room, and I am just another head case under the staircase. So, we are here. We're going to cover a whole bunch of news. There is one death, unfortunately. It's a very short one. For any of you Game of Thrones fans out there, I believe, and I cannot remember the lady's name because it just popped up for me to look over. She played one of the elder folks on Game of Thrones. She recently passed away. She was also part of the Bond universe, so make sure you guys do take a look at her career. Like I said, unfortunately, I did not have it in front of me. And I feel horrible, like a bad person.
Yeah, I thought I should have had it in front of me too, but I don't got it neither. So,
but
sorry, guys.
Yeah, this weekend has been like really busy, as far as just things that have come dropped. We have actually had last week. I think it was Wednesday. No, Tuesday. I take that back. No, Wednesday. Sorry. So last week was such a short week. I get the Wednesdays and Tuesdays confused. There, it was the official Star Trek Day. And we were treated to about a 3.5-hour panels, different panels throughout the day for everything Star Trek. They ventured into the original series. They ventured into Enterprise, into Picard, Discovery. They talked about the new shows that are coming out. We already have Lower Decks coming out. They also announced for sure that it is getting launched and getting put out there. Strange New Worlds, which will be basically the continuing journeys for the Enterprise crew, which would be, you know, include Pike and Number One, as well as a younger Spock.
Hmm. So this is going to be a different timeline, pretty much, as opposed to the original series, I guess.
So
I'm taking that.
This is just pre the original series, because okay. It is Pike and Spock. And if anybody remembers from Star Trek, it started off with the Menagerie, where Pike was part. He was part of the crew, and of course, so was Spock. And Number One, played by the late widow of Gene Roddenberry herself. She was all over the place as far as in being in Star Trek. She played Troy's mother, among other things. Marjorie Barrett.
She passed away. I didn't know that. Oh wow.
And so basically they're redoing that telling of that journey, because Kirk wasn't the first captain of the Enterprise. We know that Pike was there.
No.
So what we're going to see is the journeys of Pike and you know where Spock was, because now Spock's a first year on the Enterprise, and when he came onto with Kirk, he was not.
So, no, he was already a commander, I believe, when he went on with Kirk.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're gonna have those stories. And which will be great. And they are talking about with those series or that series, it is going to be specifically is going to go back to what a lot of people complained about with the last couple of Star Trek shows, is it's going to be more the new worlds that they're going to discover and the adventures on those worlds. There will be an underlining storyline that goes through the whole season, but it will primarily be following kind of that old formulaic, of the old series. They went to a world, something was wrong, or they had to fix something. And so they're going to go back to that. So hopefully that will maybe appease some of the older Star Trek fans who have not been fans of the new
one. That's going to be a tough pill to do. I don't think you're going to please those fans. I don't want to say it's hopeless, but it's on life support.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to appease them. They're letting Star Trek Discovery go on and do its thing. You've got Lower Decks doing its style, which I'm a big fan of. I actually finally broke down. I got CBS All Access, so I could catch up onto the Lower Decks. And, of course, with Discovery coming out within a few months, I wanted to have that available and then have that. But, they're talking with this. It's going to go back to that. So hopefully maybe that's what a lot of these Star Trek fans are missing, is that formulaic style that that we did see in Next Generation too. They went from planet to planet or from adventure to adventure. There wasn't this overall arcing story consistently. And me as a fan, I think I would enjoy that as well.
Yeah, plus let's get some new aliens in there too. I mean, I know they showed, I guess one of the big problems with Discovery was the overall design of the Klingons, which I really didn't have an issue with, but I guess, you know, what we're going to call them is the old school Trekkie fans. They had huge issues with it. Like I said, I didn't really mind it. So,
yeah. What is funny is because you have to realize they had to explain in a strange way, why did Klingons look the way they did in Next mm-hmm. Generation? Why? Where did these rigid foreheads come from and these faces and the beards and stuff? Because when you remember in Enterprise, or not Enterprise, but in the original series, they looked like us, just darker yeah. skinned. And Warrior Base, and of course, you know, it was just that the technology, they probably just didn't have the budget to do the full makeup.
I think there were more dark face, a couple different facial features, yeah. just about it, but not a lot like they changed.
Yeah,
very, I think the first time Asian. You really saw the Klingons change into that rigid forehead style was probably the movie, right? The yes. movies yeah, was probably the first time you see them like that?
So they kind of had Star to Trek. Explain it. So how they explained it was yeah. in Enterprise is one of the doctors, Phlox, basically made there was a disease going around, and what happened is that it caused the Klingons to lose their ridges and what they were known as to look like. And so right now you're in a kind of that middle ground where the Klingons technically don't look like Klingons now. So it was so funny when all these Trekkies were losing their mind about what they looked like. I'm like, but wait, guys, in this time frame, Klingons look like humans. So just, you know, they had some groups that stayed off to themselves so they didn't get the disease, and then others that, you know, got the disease. So it was always funny when they were losing their minds about how the Klingons looked. I'm like, okay, it's...
Well, like I said, some people just want to complain for the sake of complaining. It's just, you know, I feel, in my opinion, that we've discussed just many times, is the old school Star Trek fans just don't seem to have adapted well. You know, they didn't like the new movies. They didn't like Discovery. They're just waiting for stuff to hate on. And I think that's what's happening here. They just don't want to adapt. And as the Star Wars fan, I'm probably the same way with the newer movies. So I have to learn how to adapt. But Star Trek fans are, you know, a little more unforgiving, I guess is the word I would look for.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's because, you know, that's something that Gene Roddenberry preached about Star Trek. And, you know, that this is all about being open, and you have to open your mind to new worlds, to new cultures, to new civilizations. I mean, it's in the title dialogue to be open to change. And that's what he preached. You know, if most people get upset when they are like, oh, there's too much, you know, too much preaching or too much political stuff or too much social messages going into my comics or in my shows. That's what they all were when they first started. You look at what Gene talked about. You know, Gene was telling morality plays through his wagon wheel to in the stars. It was still a morality play that he was telling. So it's very funny when I hear fans, especially the geeky fans, like, guys, we were the ones that everybody picked on, and now you're attacking people for liking something that's different.
It's so strange. It just defeats the whole purpose of the Geek Nation if you're going to attack our own. I mean, come on.
it's like
supposed to love each other.
It's like pick up the mirror and look at it. And again, if you're a true Trekkie, you believe in what Gene Roddenberry talked about, that we as humans will one day get past this and move further and accept change. And I guess they don't subscribe to the church of Roddenberry as much as they
do. As much as they preach about it, they just don't, they're not listening. So
we did talk about fandom, and I think something fun came out of fandom for you, didn't it?
Yeah. Todd McFarlane, who is fastly becoming, this guy's going to bankrupt me by the end of the year. He actually revealed some new stuff from his DC multiverse line. He revealed the 7-inch figures of More Metal Batman. Yes, The Drowned is coming out, which is basically the version of the Batman, but he's a female, and Aquaman, and the Bat Cycle, which is actually the Death Metal Bat Cycle. That's going to be coming out in October.
I may just want to buy that just to have the Bat.
Yeah, that cycle looks pretty sweet. I mean, the Drowned action figure, you just got a mold. You didn't see it actually all colored in, but I'm sure it's going to look really good.
I know. Just so you folks know, Kane can't see what I'm showing you, but I'm showing them the article you sent me with the pictures.
So, oh, so they can
yeah,
see it. Okay.
Yeah, they can see. Yeah, the Violator Chopper.
Because
it does have shades of the Violator Chopper when you really, really,
it does
really look
like it. Yeah.
Yeah, they even on that article you posted, that's something they said, you know, that it definitely sees. That's why when I first looked at it, I was like, that looks familiar. And now that explains it.
Oh, well, he probably took the mold from that Violator Chopper and just, you know, did a repaint job or something. But it still looks pretty sweet. Release dates on this are probably October with everything else. Price point, I think, for the figures is about $19.99. But every Walmart I go to around here has none of them. So I have to order on eBay or Amazon. But I will be getting that. And like I said, Todd, thank you. Thank you, because I'm going to be bankrupt by the end of the year by getting all this stuff.
Yeah, I think I saw that as part of the part of the image and the McFarlane Company's business plan was to bankrupt Kane. I think I saw
that was their plan. Yeah,
I read it at the bottom. I mean, goodness, this is a kind of a big deal. I almost expected you to bring this to my attention, but we have the final day of filming has already passed for Supernatural. I mean, and Kane is our resident. What do they call you guys? Winchesterites or whatever it is?
Do they have a name for us? Winchesterites?
Yeah, there is a name for you, but I've got another name, but
I have to look it up. I don't know if it's Winchesterites.
I don't know the official name for it.
I'm going to borrow the Winchesterites still. Yes, I'm part of the Winchesterites stronghold. Sure, yes, sir. We're one of us. Yeah, the final day of filming, that's kind of surreal. When you think about it, I was like, wow, it's finally ending. Like, they've talked about an ending for so long, and now it's actually here. But, you know, it's just the final day of filming. We're not going to see the final episodes until, I think, October. And then the last one is going to air in November. But, yeah, it's really over. Yeah, and
we're only talking weeks away, by the way. I mean, when you really think of, you know, the time frame we're looking at.
Yeah, true. So I mean, I think Michael Rosenbaum was talking to Jensen on one of his podcasts, and he said, like, he didn't say it was over, but he said, like, you know, we're gonna put a bow on it for now, but, you know, who's to say, like, you know, down the line, 5 years from now, they don't dust it off and do like a little streaming series, like a 9-episode streaming series, kind of like what the X-Files did. Yeah. X-Files went away for a while and they brought it back. So I mean, never say never. And to me, it's not gonna be official until I see that final episode. But yeah, it's literally the end of an era.
Yeah, they sent out everybody on the cast, crew, a lot of cast and crew sent a lot of tweets. I think the best one was from Eric Kripke, where he sent out the original picture from the very first scene.
The pilot,
they filmed. Not just the pilot, but the very first scene they filmed. He sent out on his Twitter page a video clip of this very first scene they filmed for Supernatural from season one.
One where they're in front of the computer screen?
Yes. Yep. That's the one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was very, very nice. You know, to give the fans that, and not just the fans. I mean, this is a family. You didn't go with us to Comic-Con. Not Comic-Con. I'm sorry about that. MegaCon here in Orlando. But we had visited. There was a panel with Mark Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there, sure. And he was talking about the family, you know, of Supernatural. I mean, he had some other words to say about Supernatural. I won't repeat those, but the camaraderie and the family. He's like, you know, he's like, every single one of these people were in my wedding, and not just in the audience of my wedding, but they were in the wedding party as well.
Oh wow!
You know, that's why he's got. That's why when you kept saying that, you know, he'll come back. I'm like, I don't think he will. This is a bad burning of a bridge family wise for him, and because this was his family. He's like, not only did I lose a job, I lost my friends and my family as well.
I kind of want to find out what happened. I mean, he's never really said anything on social media of what actually happened.
No, he won't. He's too professional in that aspect. Because again, these are his friends as well. He doesn't want to burn a bridge that way, but he also knows that he doesn't want to go through that again.
But
something that came out this week that was I thought was interesting, I had never heard of, was Supernatural. But Supernatural originally wanted to have Bruce Campbell
Chin
as Sam and Dean's Chin. Dad. I have seen Bruce do some great acting. Burn Notice, if you want to take it. I mean, he's not all camp, guys. Please don't think if all you're thinking is
watch Burn Notice. He's really good at Burn Notice.
I think with the thought of Burn Notice in my head, I think he would have done a great job. And what better way than to have kind of the godfather of horror movies, B kind of level movies, give a nod to a great series, you know, that eventually became a great series. Because they were basically kind of doing what he was doing, you know, in his movie careers as far as like these supernatural things. I thought that would have been a great nod. And, you know, I would prefer, you know, I'd love to see him, you know, walk around with his boomstick, you know, screaming.
Oh, my gosh. The minute he brings that broomstick out, it's over.
I didn't say broomstick.
It's over. A lot of people would say that he wouldn't be a good fit, but I think he would fit in just perfectly. I think he would have been fine. I mean, it sucks we didn't get to see him. I mean, we got Jeffrey Dean Morgan out of it, so it's not like we, you know, we lost.
Well, we didn't lose at all, but I just thought that was an interesting little nugget that they threw out there, you know, with him, you know, to possibly or might have possibly been there. So
it would have been interesting, though. I mean, do you think he would have taken away from Jensen and Jared? I don't know. That's the big question because, you know, you're going into that series, those guys were relatively unknowns, and, you know, Bruce is the bigger star.
But he doesn't come across that when he portrays. Like he didn't overshadow, in Spider-Man. He didn't overshadow, you know, when he was in there as the ring announcer. He was just the ring announcer, and I think he would have done kind of the same thing. I don't think he's got a way of dialing back and performing the way he needs to. Again, he is known for being, you know, Sam Raimi's, you know, go to guy in pretty much any role in every movie. But I just don't I think he's got a better acting chops than what he's, you know, what we believe.
I believe that, so. But we'll never know. That's one of those things we'll just never know. So
what do you have next?
Oh, Chris Hemsworth. I recently talked about doing Thor Love and Thunder, and I guess the whole inclination was that this would be his final film as Thor. Not so fast, my friends. According to Chris, he wants to stay in the MCU for a while. Love and Thunder is going to be coming out. He's done a couple of the Avenger films, but he wants to continue playing the role of Thor for a long time. His quote said that Thor is over 1,500 years old. I'm not even 40 yet, so why not keep playing the God of Thunder? Which is good news because, you know, he's one of the OG Avengers, and literally, as time progresses in the MCU, he is a god, so he can keep going forward with him. Why not?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, even if his role is like his role gets smaller and smaller to like a cameo. Having him around is still cool. I mean, I can envision like an old man Thor as King Thor eventually of Asgard. In the comics, he became king. So, I mean, right now at the moment, he's not in the movie world. But, you know, you could do that. I mean, like I said, he's not even 40 yet. So why not keep the guy around? Keep him happy. You know, to some people, you know, he's not too bad to look at. So, hey, why not?
Definitely, yeah. I never heard that this was his last go. I don't know if had you,
I think that he gave inclinations, he? Maybe, oh, okay. But this is sort of like the thing that actually put it over the top that he doesn't want to go.
Okay. I was like, I don't think I've ever heard of him.
Yeah, he's never openly said. I guess it was more implied, like, hey, he might be leaving, but you know, this is kind of confirms that he's not going to go, which I think is a good sign. And like I said, he's one of the original Avengers, and you got to keep a couple of them around because two of them, actually three of them, are now gone. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we definitely want to keep him around. Now, actually, there's something that came out this week along with that kind of ties into Love and Thunder. And I think with kind of the world we're living in right now, this kind of is tied in. Is if anybody has never seen the, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's on Disney Plus. It's a kind of a behind-the-scenes documentary where they follow the Mandalorian and the characters and the actors, but also they talk about the filming techniques, because filming it within Mandalorian nowadays is much different. That's not a massive world. That's a overlapping kind of green screen. They're in a dome, whereas the character is walking across a field, the world changes with him. It's not a solid screen that people are looking at. And they're actually looking at doing that for Love and Thunder and filming in that style. And I actually believe that would be smart to start doing this style for everything, because with COVID and trying to be safe and secure, instead of having to go out to these natural locations, because if anybody has seen Mandalorian, those outside locations look extremely real. And I believe that if they start filming this way, using this style in Hollywood, I think it would be great, because then I can keep a lot of things in-house. Not outside, and that would help the business continue to move forward, because that's what we're running into right now. A lot of these movies and these television series, they're used to filming outside, but But now what they're having to do is they're keeping having to stop, start until it gets done. But I think if the Hollywood like embraces this style of filmmaking, it could definitely keep the product coming out and keep the entertainment flowing. Because I mean, right now we're at a trickle really when it comes to movies and television series.
I think it'd be a smart move. I mean, to be honest, when you told me that, what was it, a couple months ago, you told me that basically they had this green screen technology they were filming for the scenery. I was like, really? I thought that was, they film outside.
Yeah.
Because it looks so real.
It's the coolest thing. It's almost, anybody's ever gone to like the planetarium, you've got the planetary dome, it's all around you. And they design a set inside of this. And then the camera that they're using basically marks the person, the main spot of the person walking, and they follow that as he moves right, the screen itself and the imagery moves along with him. So it truly looks like the environment is changing with his movements. And, you know, that's what you do miss with a typical green screen that you usually are used to seeing, like we've seen for, if anybody's ever seen behind the scenes for Avengers or any Star Wars, it's literally the character, the thing they're standing on, and green all around them. But instead, it's not a green. It's truly like a movie theater screen, and it's these images are getting put up there. So it's really cool. And what's great is the actors are seeing it. Like with green screen, they have to imagine their surroundings. But with that style, they're actually seeing the environment around them, so they can they can act to that environment. So I think it's a pretty cool style.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, like you said, with everything going on, I mean, it's a smart move to do. I think the Batman, from what I read also, is going to start filming indoors. I'm not sure if they're going to use this technology, but I know they're going to start filming a lot of their stuff in studios in London.
Yeah.
And
from what I hear, the technology is cheaper too. I mean, it's not one of those ones like, oh, it's new technology, it's going to be through the roof. It's a little bit more, you know, reasonable in pricing.
And you could save a lot of money too. Like, you know, doing those outdoor scenery shots takes dough, because sometimes you're going to film them in, you know, locations where it's heavily populated. People are going to be there. You got to close streets off, pay people. It's just, you know, it's just going to save a lot of money doing this. Yeah. And I can't wait. If Taika's going to do it, learning from Favreau, because Favreau, when he did The Lion King, you know, people didn't even realize, actually The Jungle Book, I'm sorry. When he did The Jungle Book and everybody saw the animals speaking and that, and people were thinking that the scenery outside of the jungle was all real. No, he used that technology in The Jungle Book first.
Exactly. Yep.
So,
Taika's been working with The Mandalorian, so he's used to using that style. He's directed a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
So he's used it. So hopefully he'll pick it up. And I think that's one reason why they're trying to get that. I know Favreau made that comment in that documentary I was watching, where that he did make a comment. He's like, I wanted more and more of these directors to look at what we were doing and the thing that we were doing and how we were making it, and to take that and put it out there. It's an experimental right now. Put it out there. Get more people involved in it, because that could really change, you know, how it's filmed. You know, if you remember, you know, before The Matrix, we didn't see that stop motion going on, you know, that stop capture thing that they had going on. And then that changed how Hollywood started doing movies. And this one, I think, will make it more in-house. You know, that's one of the reasons why I thought about it as something great, because then you can get these, you know, these awesome landscapes, and
you basically can build the landscape you want without actually going to the location. Mm-hmm. I mean, because sometimes when you go on location, it's raining and you got to stop filming for a day. This way, you actually can make the scene anything you want. There's no delays in filming, and then you just do it and go. And if the actors can see it, they can emote, yep, you know, what they see in the background. That's even better. So it's a win-win situation, and I can't wait.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Hopefully we'll be seeing something soon about this. Now, we did have another drop this week of something that I have been waiting for quite some time. Dune had dropped its first trailer. We got a teaser trailer early last week, and it was just, again, all the teaser trailers are nowadays is, hey, we're going to tease, hey, a trailer is coming out in a day or two. But we were brought to the world of Dune through this, and it was amazing to see what they did. Denis Villeneuve, who is directing it,
Denis Villeneuve. It's French.
Amazing job. I think he did a great job. It was captured everything about the book. They even did the one thing I was hoping they wouldn't do, but I knew they would have to. They did show you the worms, and my jaw dropped the second I saw them, because it's very rarely do you see the sketches, the conceptual art, be what it was when they were drawing it. And when you if you look it up, the conceptual art for the sandworms in this version of Dune, it's it. When it comes out at the end, you're just like, my jaw just dropped. The scenes were beat for beat from the book that I saw. I'm sure there'll be other changes, but from what I saw in there, those scenes were beat for beat. Paul and the old lady sitting here talking in that room was great. And then just seeing the cast, because I wasn't sure who was who when I first, when you're first looking at them, you guys can see the images I have on here about the cast, but wasn't sure who was who, and I think it looks great.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this yet, and I was waiting for this day. And when I saw the trailers, I was at work when I saw it, and I was literally at a machine, and I had to stop, go to the break room. They asked me where I was going. Like, look, just give me 10 minutes. Because I had to watch the trailer a couple times just to get the feel of it. And like you said, mouth on your bottom, open jaw, amazing. I mean, the ending of that trail with the giant sandworm comes out, you're exactly right what you said. When you take a sketch design and you put it on film, it's sometimes not exactly what you think it is, but this was just it.
Yeah.
The size of the sandworm and everything. I mean, there's a couple scenes that reminded me of the David Lynch Dune, of course, because they're going to take some things from there, but still looks fresh. Even the Dune series they had on Sci-Fi Network a couple years ago wasn't half bad neither. I think it was like an 8-episode miniseries. You guys should check that out also.
Well, but they're not going to take, they're not taking from David Lynch. They're taking from the novel.
No, they're taking some things. I'm just saying, like, you know,
I don't think so.
Atmospheric-wise. No, I'm just, atmospheric-wise, I'm saying. Not saying, like, they're robbing David Lynch. But, those two versions of Dune I liked, and I think I'm going to like this one better. I think they're taking both of those, plus whatever they couldn't put in the book the first time, they're including it this time. And I think the kid looks good in the Kyle MacLachlan role. So, Kyle MacLachlan was the first to play in the David Lynch movie. So, but look, it looks great. It looks fantastic. And I hope I don't want to see any more. I'm done. I'll wait till the movie comes out. Right. And hopefully it does not get delayed.
This one,
don't push this movie back.
I don't think so, because of the time frame and everything they're looking at. I think this one will be fine. Movie theaters will be back up and running. So, but yeah, it just looks amazing. Zendaya looks great. Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet.
He's playing Paul. A little bit older than what I thought, because in the books he's like 14, 15. But I know it's kind of tough sometimes to find an actor that can emote what he needs to emote. And if they're continuing and planning on doing this further, because it's not just Dune, there's several books after Dune. If they're planning on trying to do them all, or at least attempting, you want him to at least be able to grow with it, because I think there's like a major like 5-year jump from the first book to the second book, where he becomes, I think he's like within his 20s. So that, but I mean, everybody looked great in it. I was amazed. God, I see Batista in there. Look, I mean, he looked great. I forgot he was in there until I saw him. I was like, hey, that looks like Batista. Oh, wait, that is Batista. Damn it.
And then you had, I didn't know Oscar Isaac was playing Chalamet's dad. I was like, okay.
Yeah, no, that I knew, because you can kind of even see it within him. It was funny. I was talking to somebody about it online, and they were talking about Oscar Isaac when they heard about it. They're like, no, wait, he's supposed to be older. And then just what a beard can do to a character, to an actor, can change him so much. He probably throw it through a little bit of gray in there, and he looks perfect in the role.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, hopefully he can, because he didn't like his experience too much in Star Wars from what I read. So this one looks like he get to bite his teeth into something very juicy. So it looks like he's going to pull it off. And like I said, I can't wait. It just looks fantastic. Like I had a idea of what I wanted, and then they gave me something better. This is what I didn't expect. Like, wow, it was, apparently Denis Villeneuve is a big fan of Dune and the Lynch version. So you could tell he's a sweaty, and he went all out for this one. He's a criminally underrated director too. I thought he did a great job with Blade Runner 2049, even though people crapped on it. I thought it was a worthy sequel that we didn't need, but it was still good enough. And it looks like he's going to knock it out of the park with Dune. So can't wait.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. So what do you have?
Me too.
What do you have next?
Speaking of space, The Final Frontier. I know you're a big fan of the Fast and Furious movies, right?
I actually have become a fan. I was not 3 years ago. I want to say about 3 years ago, I sat down and like watched them, and I was like, okay, I can kind of see what people like. I'm always one of these ones. For some reason, I like the bad things about a series of movies. I like the bad albums of certain bands. Like they can have like award winning albums, but you know, it's the worst selling album is the one I like. So for me,
X Factor by Iron Maiden.
For like Fast and Furious, I was a fan of Tokyo Drift, which was, you know, really the worst one out there. But when I sat down and actually watched the rest, I became a fan. But I'm gonna caveat that right now, so to let you finish your story.
I want to jump on those comments a little bit, because I was not a big fan at the beginning. I was like, oh, it's only about cars and driving cars fast, and I was like, I don't care about this. But then eventually they went to a place, you know how I always love when you go ridiculous, you got to go ridiculous in a series like this. They did it with Five, I think, when The Rock came in. It became a bit more of a heist movie. Then they started jumping cars off planes.
Don't forget the submarine. They had to race across a frozen lake or something.
Yes, they're phrasing the submarine.
Yes, yeah.
They're submarine across the frozen desert of Alaska. Yeah. And if you thought they couldn't get more ridiculous, guess what, Captain? I know you're going to be there first row with me. They're going into space. Yes, Fast and Furious is going into space. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't even care. I'm going to see this. I want to see cars flying in space. That's it. I want to see them doing like drifts in space, doing it off a space station, going off the moon, doing jumps from planet to planet. I want them to go all out. If you're going to go in space, go all out. Don't even hold anything back. Have them fight aliens. Have them fight Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet. Go insane. If you're going to do this, just go all out. Sorry.
That's okay. No, I mean, when you and I talked about this earlier this week, my first reaction was, well, where's Jason X? I mean, this is one of the longest running franchises right next to the Friday the 13th franchises. Why not cross over your brands and have Dom and Jason go at it?
It's all about family, Jason.
Jason was all about family. He was avenging his mother.
So, yeah, maybe they can get together, form a team or something. But yeah, when you brought the Jason X idea, I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. They should really just cross genres, have horror and with the Fast and Furious, where, you know, imagine Jason driving a car with a big pitchfork outside.
Yeah.
Ah, just do it. Yeah. What are you waiting for? We're giving you a great idea now. You go into space, just do it. Don't hold anything back. Please, just don't. When I read this, it went to the top of my list. I'm like, oh my God, yes. Yes, 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 yes. And you know what? Next movie, do time travel. Go back to the first Fast movie. Bring Paul Walker back. I don't know.
Yeah, that's we shall see what they do. And you were saying that you don't think anybody ever mentioned that. I am would put money on there that there is a movie reviewer out there that made that comment, and they went, yeah, you what? Screw you. We're going to space.
I think that's what it was. They were like, oh, are you going to go to space next? You know what?
Yes.
Tell Vin about it. Hey, that's a great idea. Let's go to space. So it doesn't say when they're going to start filming this next Fast one, but because the other one got delayed. But hey, I'm waiting for this one. I'll be camped out in front of a theater. I'll get my Fast and Furious shirt on. Fast and Furious, what, 11 goes to space.
Mm-hmm. No, F11. This will be 9. 9.
The 9?
Yeah, okay. This is 9. So they're going to space on number 9. It took Jason 10 to number 10 to do it, but you know they had to one up him.
Yeah, after Jason somehow beat the devil, he went to space. So there you go.
Good times. Can't wait to see it. We did make a comment about the DC fandom that went on this weekend. We did have a couple of things that dropped. Kane, you know, just showed you we talked about the Todd McFarlane toys, but there has been some news on renewals. We just got news that Young Justice, the fourth season, will be coming out. And as Kane made a comment to me earlier, he thinks that the Batman might be in there, or at least Ben might be there, since they're naming it after the Phantoms.
Yeah, basically. That's Ben Affleck has to be involved as a voice somewhere along the line. He has to, because, dude, he was the bomb in Phantoms.
He was the bomb in Phantoms.
He was the bomb in Phantoms. Come on. That's the first thing I thought about when he was like, Phantoms? Come on. You got to have Affleck in there.
So we'll see what this one goes on. I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, the titles never work out the way they say it. Like, last one was Outsiders, and I'm like, okay, they had really nothing to do. I mean, it sort of had something to do with the Batman Outsiders unit, but they never called themselves that, but they were basically the Outsiders. So it'll be interesting to see where Phantom takes them. Again, we've been hinted at again with Apocalypse staring down, looking at Earth, grumbling to himself. But we did get one little nugget that's been driving you and me crazy. One. And it was the ring that showed up in the cafe.
I'm just worried it's going to be a throwaway thing. That's what I'm concerned about. Because when you show that Legion ring, you got to put the Legion in there. You can't just be like, oh, just a one-off.
Usually with this, other than the Apocalypse, nothing's been a throwaway yet. I've noticed.
And please show Darkseid this year. Don't make Darkseid appear in episode 1 and then episode 23.
Yeah.
Because you basically teased him in the end of 2.
Yeah,
we're seeing
Doomsday, or not Doomsday, but Darkseid on Apocalypse. Yeah, that's the only thing that they've ever teased. Everything else they've paid off on. We've never not gotten a good follow through. So I'm not worried about the ring. All I was worried about is that they were going to get signed up for it. Because, I mean, when the last run came out, it was still in the infancy of DC Universe. So there wasn't a lot of people signed up. This was, I think, when they ran was when the first season of Titans came out. I think they were like going back to back. So that's why I was kind of worried. I was like, man, it's been a while. Are they going to be forgotten, drifted off? But no, they're coming back. As well as we got news that renewal for Doom Patrol, the third season, will be coming back. Thank you, WB, for doing such a wonderful job. Now,
thank you, Berlanti.
The only one we're waiting on, and you damn well better do it, is Harley Quinn. We have not heard of Harley Quinn. Granted, she is the last show to end.
Yeah, she was the last one.
So I understand there might be a gap. Let's get these guys started, and then we'll get to her in a second. But I think they're going to do it, because we saw her in the first day of DC Fandom, and then we also saw her again on the second day of DC Fandom. So we're just waiting to get that news that, yes, we are going to get a third season of Harley Quinn, which, again, I think we need in our life. I mean, that was a amazing show.
I don't know about
show.
You, but I needed it in my life.
Yeah, that was an amazing show. I loved it. The humor to it. It just,
when you told me, because I hadn't seen it, you saw it before I did, because I think you saw the first 5 episodes. You're like, have you watched Harley Quinn show? I'm like, no, it just sounds stupid. And you're like, no, it's not. Watch it. And then you were like very demanding, like, watch it, watch it. I'm like, I'm going to watch it. Okay, I'll watch it. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. This is everything. This is like my wildest dreams come to life, this series. And in every way, both seasons, the first one, the second one. And, I saw the little bit of the panel they had on Fandom. They talked to Alan Tudyk on there. And I think one of the things we discussed was like, he's the voice of the Joker, which we all know. But he was the voice of Clayface, which I did not know. But it kind of makes sense because he's all theatrical like this. I'm Clayface, which I thought he's my favorite character, by the way. Him and King Shark, they're freaking awesome. But it's a no-brainer for DC. Just renew the damn thing already. Yep. Stop teasing it, please. the showrunner was on Fandom and they talked to her for a little bit. She was like, I have some ideas, because they talked about Punchline, which is the girlfriend's new joke, girlfriend in the comics.
Yeah.
She's like, because somebody asked her about it. Like, you think you're going to include Punchline? She's like, nothing's off limits. Yeah, so
Punchline would be great, because I've seen some runs where Harley and Punchline get together, and she does not like her very much.
Yeah, let's just say they don't get along very well. So,
definitely a great thing to do. And we also got a little bit more from DC Fandom. We got some a little news that came out with about the Flash movie, in that they talked that it may restart, but not restart. So
I'm trying to pull it up right now. Yeah, there's a couple different websites. That's why I didn't want to put it on here, because I was kind of worried.
Well, it's just the wording is that they said they're restarting without forgetting, which kind of makes me wonder what route they're going.
Yeah, the way it was worded, it was like it's not going to ignore anything of the past, but it's going to restart everything. So I was like,
Yeah. Hmm. So it will be interesting to see what comes of that. I mean, we do understand that he is getting a new suit. We do understand that Ben will be part of the movie. We understand that
Michael Keaton's going to be in there as well.
Michael will also be part of the movie. So we understand there's going to be crossovers. We're definitely some time jumps. Maybe the restart is that something gets changed, so it's not a complete restart. Again, because it's kind of silly if they're going to do a restart to this, and they've got movies coming out and planned, and like it's kind of to me, it seems weird, especially to do a restart of a franchise that still is in existence. they can't ignore it.
That's the first thing I thought about. You could just make a normal Flash movie, like, because I kept telling you for a while, because the big rumor was like many moons ago, they were like, oh, we're gonna do a Flashpoint movie. I'm like, why would you do a Flashpoint movie now? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, just make an origin Flash movie and just go from there. Flashpoint, you should do like later on, like 3 or 4 or 5th movie, even 6th.
Yeah.
Well, you can wait on that.
Maybe what they'll do is they'll correct some of the things that they feel are mistakes and remove those out of the universe, but keeping the universe as a whole contained.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something, you talked about that I still, until I see it, until I see it in the screen, I don't believe it. But you're talking about that the Robin costume in the Batcave was actually Dick Grayson. Well, maybe what they'll do is they'll fix that, and that's no longer Dick Grayson. Maybe it's not going to do a complete refreshing. If you remember, like from the Flashpoint in the animated series, it wasn't a full restart. When he came back to the time, it was time. It was normal. There was just a couple of little things that were fixed.
Yeah, a couple of minor things. So yeah, you're right. They could do something like that. Yeah. Where, I mean, they're not going to do it in this universe, because the one thing I did talk to you about was like maybe Flash comes back after he's fixed everything, and instead of Ben Affleck, he sees Robert Pattinson's Batman. But that rumor's kind of crushed now, because they basically said that the Batman, Matt Reeves' Batman, is in a different universe.
Okay.
So I mean, he's going to have a Batman in his universe. I would believe.
Who?
I mean, if The Flash.
Well, he's got one. There's no. I don't think there's getting rid of. I think what he's going to do is he's going to go see a different one. I believe what we kind of saw in the crossover event in CW is kind of what we're going to see there. I have a funny feeling that that's going to be part of the storyline. That maybe these Batman aren't.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
These Batman aren't going to be new Batman to him. I think what's going to happen is he's going to jump to Batman 89. Like they kind of did.
Oh my gosh! I hope so bad if they do that.
Well, I mean, we already know Keaton's there, so
yeah.
Obviously
I'm just thinking, can you imagine if they somehow like edited some footage and got him in there, and just like he shows up when the Jack Nicholson Joker shows up?
No, not that. No, God, no, not that cheesy. Jesus Christ!
Why not?
Because that's cheesy. It's stupid. You don't want to overdub him onto something. No, have him run into Batman 89 time frame or timeline where he meets Batman or Bruce. At Keaton's age now.
Oh, old
you're
Batman.
Going to have Keaton. Yeah, you already know you're going to have Keaton, so why would you want to go backwards?
I don't know. That's just a thought I had in my head.
Cheesy.
I just rambled on.
So,
sorry. That's just a thought. That'd be kind of cool. He actually meets a Jack Nicholson Joker. I mean, it's not
going to
happen.
No. He's going to meet that Batman now, because Keaton's older. And then, Bruce, his Bruce will still be his Bruce. And again, like I said, there was always still that rumor that, and it's never been like flushed away or ever said, hey, no, that was just something that we were joking about. But, Richard Dean Anderson, or not Richard Dean Anderson, sorry, shit.
MacGyver?
Yeah, no.
Colonel O'Neill. You're going to watch too much Stargate, son.
Colonel Jack O'Neill, for God's sakes. And that's with two L's.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan, yes, we know.
But have him, pop in as the Thomas Wayne. And I talked to you about that. He doesn't even need to interact with him. You can just have Flash show up.
One thing they need. I don't mean to cut you off, sir. There's only one thing they need from that. One thing. They don't even have to interact. I think I was talking to you yesterday about having all three Batman on screen. That's never going to happen. I try to believe it, but it's not. But if they could have at the end of the movie where Flash goes back to the Batcave and has the letter from his dad to Bruce, that's all they need to do. Yeah. No, they got to have that.
But then at that point, then it has to become more of Richard Dean. His
Jeffrey Dean? Yeah.
Jeffrey Dean. It has to be more of his interaction. And like I was saying, I think with him, it'd just be great for him to Flash show up, be in the middle of Gotham with, Wayne Casino.
Casino. Yeah.
Yeah. That. Now, what would be cool, since they do have the two Batman, actually having Keaton's Batman write a note to
To the Affleck Batman.
To the Affleck Batman and say, hey, listen, things may be rough now, blah, 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 you know, but it just stick to it. You know, something like along those lines. Maybe we'll get that sort of nod. Yeah, maybe not the, you know.
Well,
the,
like, don't give up or something like that. Something, hey, man, like,
you know, uplifting, you know, with flowers and little happy little bats floating around in them, you know.
Stay strong, kid.
Yeah,
you'll be fine.
hang in there, and it's a picture of a Batman falling off of like a branch or something.
Wow, dude, you just painted the whole scene, didn't you? You like doing that, huh?
You know me.
You like poking the bear, don't you?
I do. Speaking of poking bears, what do you have next?
Well, I think we talked about our good buddy Ronnie Cox a couple movies ago. Remember Ronnie Cox? Ronnie Cox is still alive. Ronnie Cox actually played a character in RoboCop called Dick Jones. Remember Dick Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? I know you've been wanting a Dick Jones prequel series, and that's apparently what we're going to get. From MGM Studios, developing a prequel television series that will take place before RoboCop involving the character of Dick Jones. Yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah.
So do we see the building of Ed 209 in this series? Is that what's going to happen?
How old is Dick Jones? I mean, is he a younger Dick Jones?
Or, I know. They haven't said. There was no age requirements. I mean, do they bring Ronnie Cox in like at the beginning to narrate? Like, yeah, I remember when I was a young guy struggling make it in the financial world. I don't know.
What, just
I mean,
before he gets shot? I mean, he did die. It's not like he can be an older man sitting there talking about his, you know, his youth. He got, you know, his ass blown up or thrown out of a window. Very, very poor CG.
Everybody wants to see some bad CG. Man, that was bad. That was bad.
Look at the long arms as he's falling out. The arms are just horrible.
I have to watch that tonight, man.
Yeah, so but, ready for RoboCop prequel series without a RoboCop. So to me, that's like ordering a cheeseburger and, I don't know, not getting the burger. Why would I want to see a RoboCop prequel without any hints of RoboCop? And to me, Dick Jones was not the most interesting character in there.
I think his Murphy's partner. You could do one on Murphy's partner before she met in RoboCop. It's not a bad one.
I don't know.
If you wanted to, I'm just saying. Do you want to? It's either Dick Jones or her.
No.
No.
Why? There, just because there is 80s nostalgia does not mean you need to do.
I'm not saying I would do it. I'm just saying if you want to choose between the two, devil's advocate, do you choose the girl? Or do you choose Dick Jones? I mean, who's more interesting of a character?
Neither. They both were very bland characters.
Okay, so let's do a prequel series on Ed 209.
I don't
want this series, but I'm saying if they're going to go forward, make it interesting.
No, I don't think I'm going to fight it tooth and nail.
You keep fighting it, but they're going to MGM is apparently going to do it. I don't know why. Like I said, I don't think they need it. But
I'm hoping it gets stuck in development hell.
I'm hoping this
is one of those ones that, you know, hey, we were sitting around our table. We got some good Jamaican and we're smoking it up. And hey, what would be a great idea? 80s nostalgia is big right now. Let's bring back RoboCop. But hold on, dude. I got it without RoboCop.
Yo, man, that'd be great. So which one should we do? Ed 209?
Yeah.
Or should we do the girl? Nah, man. Let's do Dick Jones. The guy who fell out the window with the weird CG?
Yeah. That just, no. Nope. I think this is a bad product of medical marijuana, and I think that's the evils of drugs right there is the fact of, if we're ever going to talk about any evils of drugs, it's the fact that they're going to do a RoboCop prequel without RoboCop. That's the only reason I would say no to drugs, and I would go right after Nancy Reagan, say no to drugs because of this one moment. That's it. So
yeah, so I'm still going to move forward with my Ed 209 prequel series coming out in 2021. Yeah. So look for that, kids.
Yes, just definitely keep an eye out for that. And
what do you have next?
Oh, goodness. Sorry.
Oh, God. I'm never going to get over that Dick Jones thing.
let's see. I think I've done everything. I think you were the last.
Oh, yeah.
Because I kind of did cover Star Trek. Yeah, you did. I did kind of cover the Star Trek stuff. So here is your last.
Well, guess what? You know, we always talk about films being pushed back, but how about a film that's getting back in production? Mission Impossible 7 is back in production. Tom Cruise said he's back in production. He's ready to rock and roll. Chris McQuarrie is going to do it. He's doing the Maverick movie as well.
Are they going to space?
No, it doesn't say anything about space, but it says they're going to do some more stunts that's going to death-defy the ones that they've done before, which I don't know what else they're going to do. The guy's jumped off the Saudi building. He's jumped off an airplane. Next thing really is just to do it in space.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing left on Earth to do. I mean, what is he going to do?
That him and Dom take a trip up to space. Maybe they like another crossover here. I mean, they're talking about doing a Matrix and John Wick crossover. Why not an impossible Fury movie?
I like the name Impossible Fury.
Mission that Impossible is... Fury. There you go, guys. There you
Mission
go.
Welcome, Impossible Hollywood. Fury. No, Mission Impossible quotes Fury. I like that. That could work. Where you see Dom enter a building, he's with his team and all that. It's like, who's the point man on this? It's Ethan Hunt and his team. Like, yeah, guys, where are we going? Our mission, it's in space.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can see it.
You got to bring, what's his name? The U2 guys back to do the score again from the original movie.
Oh, I wish I can just bring Common in. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can bust out something good on him.
Oh, yeah, he'll make it a lovely song. Mission Impossible!
Oh yeah. So,
how many crossovers are we gonna have? Let's just make everything in space.
Why not?
Just put Jason X in space, Mission Impossible in space, Fast 10 and 9 in space. Do it all.
Come on, that's where we're going. I mean, eventually, we're on our way to Mars through the NASA program. Why not start thinking big? Fast and Furious, a Mars Drift or something like that. You know. And then they can work a crossover with what was the Schwarzenegger movie?
The Running Man.
Running Man.
Total Recall.
Total Recall. And you'll see Schwarzenegger, walking into the building, and you can see Dom zipping across the landscape, kicking up dust, and just great stuff. Him and Letty continuing on, boldly going where no car has gone before.
It's drifting in Mars. Check this out, Letty.
Wow, he's flying in space.
Fast 9, outer space.
Oh yeah. So,
oh God. But now, I can't.
I did see something earlier today I thought was kind of interesting. It looks as though the Ghostbusters. We've got Ghostbusters pretty much is done, ready to drop. Because of, I guess, what has happened with Tenet and, of course, with what happened with New Mutants and a lot of the movies that have been coming out, they're not getting the... They're not getting the payoff they want. They're not making the money, basically.
We've talked about this before. Did they really think they were going to make all that money back?
They made what they thought they were going to make for Tenet. I know that. I read that. The WB did release finally a week and a half later, which, usually when a movie comes out, they're hey, this is what we're making now. This is what we're making now. It took them a week and a half to actually say, hey, by the way, Tenet made $200 million. But that doesn't mean the opening week, the weekend. There's a little shade on the number. But along with that article, I saw where they were talking about, the Ghostbusters movie coming out. And there was another movie that was in I think it was with Sony, where they were like, we're not going to release them until we know the pandemic's over and we can have a crowd in the theater and it was a smart move. They want to make their money. I understand fans are out there clamoring. We want entertainment. We want to see. I'm dying to see this Ghostbusters movie because I think it'll just re-spark my, rekindle my youth in a way. But I also get it. You've spent the money on this movie. You don't want to just break even after 2 months. You do want to make some money.
I agree, but if they're still thinking like that, maybe they should have pushed it back a little bit further. I mean, or do the VO. No, I'm sorry. Did I say VO? Oh.
You almost did.
I caught myself. You could do like a Redbox online or rent it. I mean, don't do the Mulan thing because that didn't work out at all. But if you were so scared of not making, I mean, you knew you were not going to make your money back. Yeah. I mean, it's just, to me, it boggles my mind. And be happy for the money you did get. And move forward. I mean, like, this is an unprecedented thing that just happened. Nobody saw this coming. So there's like releasing it now actually helps a lot. But I do understand from a business standpoint, they wanted to make their money back, but you got to be a little bit realistic. They were not going to make all their money back.
I sometimes wonder with what they released now, like they knew, hey, you know what? We know we're not going to make our money back, but let's get this out for entertainment's sake. I mean, I don't know if there are people out there that would do that. I mean, Disney can afford to do that. So with them releasing Mulan, I could kind of see that going, okay, they're releasing it just for entertainment's sake. Same thing with kind of the New Mutants. It was done. It was in the can. It's been done for years. Just get it out there. We're not going to make, you know, what we think we're going to make, but we're not trying to build a franchise off this either. They just wanted to get it out there and get something in the theaters. Tenet was a big one, but I think that was also one of those moves where, and I think that's the one that's going to trigger the pause. And like I said, the one with the Ghostbusters movie coming out, I wish I could remember the second movie they were talking about that, but like, no, we want to wait. I know I don't want to get political here, but even the doctor, I can't remember him, that worked with the White House, and he's saying, you know, we're talking another, like, late next year where we can really, really get to where we can get out and be normal again. So wait a year. Let the cheap movies come out, the cheaply made movies, let them trickle. I watched a new Star Trek movie that was fan-made, which was kind of interesting, you know? I mean, check out, there are places to get some entertainment. We are getting our football back, you know, for your sports fans out there. So right now, there is entertainment coming back. It may not be the entertainment we want, like we like it, but it's there. And I think with movies, they need to kind of slow down and think is this a movie that if the theater's open, we can bank big? Or is this one that, you know what, we're probably going to break even or just make a little bit over? Let's release that in the VOD and lighten up the fucking price on VOD, please.
Please. Hey, you said VOD, by the way.
$30. Well, I had to. $30 is ridiculous. And you have to realize there are the shady folks out there that know where to get these movies for free. So once it hits the internet or any sort of streaming thing, it's getting copied. So you know you're not going to get your full money out. So just be smart about it.
Does Redbox have an online site where you can rent movies?
Redbox is, they do have a streaming service. It's usually like really like bad B movies or you know, 20, 30-year-old movies.
I think we discussed before, why just not drop them on there? I mean, you're not going to make the money back, but at least you'll make something.
They probably will. Within a month, you probably will find Mulan out there. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's not going to be the last thing we hear of Mulan. We are going to see it eventually coming out to where people will be able to rent it, buy it, stream it, you know, through other locations. So it's just like any movie when it does come out.
Just don't make it $30.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous too.
Oh my God.
That price was just stupid.
That whoever thought about that, just bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to look right now actually the with Bill and Ted, because Bill and Ted I think primarily was
streaming.
Was streaming.
I think it was in the theaters for a weekend. They took it out.
Theaters at a couple of locations. But
it made a little bit of money, I think.
That's why I wanted to check to see budget was, well, box office $3 million. So no, they didn't really do them much.
Okay,
they 25 million was the budget. They made $3 million, and I don't know where that $3 million is.
Is, yeah, where did that $3 million come from?
If that's all them. Box office, or yeah. So they made Bill and Ted grossed to 400,000 in 1,007 theaters on its first day. Went on to debut at 1.1 million, finishing third in the box office. Also went through the Fandango, Apple TV, iTunes, Google Play was their top rentals. And then, of course, you can purchase them through, and of course, I hope you'll feel happy of this, through every VOD platform, including Amazon Prime, Vudu, iTunes, Fandango Now, and Google Play. So, no, not on Redbox yet, but...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you have some options out there that theaters could use, and I think you're onto something. You talked about, you know, instead of releasing these major films that cost a lot of money with all these budgets and all that, you could release, like, the smaller ones. You know, I think independent movies, like right now, it's a good time for them. Like, you could literally just go to the theaters and watch an independent movie or something small. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they don't cost that much to make. I mean, literally, Kevin Smith, if he released his movies now, they'd have probably a you know, bigger audience than they would if their big, if the bigger movies are coming out.
It's still the folks, that, the fact that folks don't want to go out, and it's hard to go out to the movies.
Yeah, trust me, I'm having my issues going out too. I mean, it's not easy.
I've gone twice. It's not about going. You'll feel comfortable going. If anybody's listening that's thought about going to the movies, I've gone twice. I've been safe, and they're safe. They clean. What it's really about is getting the seats. That's going to be your biggest challenge right now, because the way they have it is they don't fill up a row. You have at least 2 to 3 seats in between you and the next group. So if you're going with a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever, and you're sitting there and you've got 2 seats, there's going to be 3 seats on one side and 3 seats on the other. So they're losing 6 people making, you know, of money seats right now. And then of course that group, and then the very next row, that row empty, nobody. So then the next row. So that's where they're hurting in the money. It's putting the butts in the seats. They can get butts in the seats. They can fill up all the theaters they want, but because they can't fill them up truly, you realize that they're probably less than 50% capacity. If you think every other row is getting filled up, and the other, and that, so the other half are not. So there's your 50%, and then there's gaps of 3 seats each row that are blank. That's you know, you're talking 48, 47%.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money going bye-bye.
It's a lot of money you're losing right there. So,
yeah, so
getting back to it, I guess if they wanted to push these movies back and they wanted to wait, like I said, I can't hate the argument for that neither. No. I really can't.
Because if they're, you know, not release
something, at least the little movies would be good.
If they're not making their money, then guess what? They're not going to make new movies. So it's a very sick little thing. You have to look at that. If the movie theaters aren't making the money that they think that they need to be making to survive, well, then they're going to start making less movies. Well, they're going to go low budget first. But even with a low budget movie, even though they're coming out, they're still only filling up 48% of the theaters. And then, you know, don't guess what? We're going to go even lower budget. And then we're going to go Kevin Smith budget. And they're still not going to be banking. So I just, you know, the fact that Tenet made $200 million in about a week and a half, kind of questioning that myself.
That's kind of big.
That's big. There's big numbers. And like I said, WB has held that. You know, it took them a while to release that, which is very.
That's kind of shady. So usually box office was Mojo.
They're all over. Yeah,
but not this time. Things that make you go.
Yep. So, well, guys, that is all I have. I believe that is all Kane has for us this week.
And, that's it. That's all I got, bud.
So make sure you guys do check us out, of course, here on Facebook Live through our weekly show. We also do a podcast of this show, so you guys will hear that again. There are 2 shows in the making right now. I'm, like, laying the groundwork for them. First one is where Kane and I both start doing movie reviews. I want Kane to start jumping in with us. We're going to try to do movie reviews about the movies we do for Midnight Movies, so you guys can hear what we're talking about and then go, you know, that sounds like something I'd want to check out. And then I'm going to start doing a book review series, primarily concentrating on, you know, sci-fi fantasy style books that I'm a fan of. And I know some of you guys that are out there, there are people that like to read, but you're not able to talk to other readers. So hopefully we can start, you know, a little group here where we can start talking about that stuff. Just different ways of growing Heroes Asylum so you guys can be more interactive with us. But you guys can check all of our stuff out on heroesasylum.com, where you can see the link for the Midnight Movie Reviews, which this week we have... What the hell did we do last night?
Suicide Squad!
Suicide Squad. Holy crap. I did not drink that much last night.
I know.
So we have Suicide Squad coming out, our first attempt and our third of the DC Extended Universe. So make sure you guys do check that out. That will be dropping this week on Wednesday. So please check that out. And of course, you can find us in our social media networks. Where?
Twitter at @TheHeroesAsylum_podcast and Instagram at @TheHeroesAsylum. Check out some stuff that I post on Instagram. I'm playing Avengers video game right now on PS4. It's awesome. It's fantastic. And as always, from the captain to me to you, get to the asylum.